Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A certified mentor with New Jersey's Southeast Chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Pappas.
Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas. For the last 20 years, more women have opted to start their own business than ever before, even outpacing men, and they have been thriving. The reality is that women can and should have a large presence in the business world. One big advantage women offer the business world and management in particular is that they have different sets of life and work experiences than men do, and thus different perspectives. Their skills are unique as well. This leads to different opinions, different preferences, and different strategies. In many ways, women in society are seen as natural caregivers or nurturers. Research shows that women excel in a variety of skills that are necessary in the workplace. Skills and qualities like task management, communication, patience, and empathy are vital to succeed in a work environment. Women also tend to excel in encouraging others to talk through their problems, stay organized, remain patient, and be understanding. Women must be considered seriously in business, be they executives or entrepreneurs. They can bring different perspectives to the proverbial table and tend to be more strategic. This tendency may make them more risk-averse in acquisitions, but it also leads to greater success from a valuation standpoint in the startup phase when more calculated moves have the biggest impact. Oftentimes, women in business face challenges that their male counterparts typically don't. Along with gender biases, there are also disparities in financing and overall communication. Here are some of the difficulties women face in businesses. Women-owned businesses receive only a fraction of the available venture capital funds. Being aware of unconscious gender biases can help women overcome barriers, and confidence is an important component of success. When it comes to financing a business, women entrepreneurs who seek financing should develop a solid business plan, recruit a strong team of founders and experts, promote the plan, demonstrate how you plan to grow the company, and look for investors who are eager to support and inspire women in business. There are many ways of getting funding. One way is through a grant. Many companies offer grants. Score New Jersey this past April held a pitch contest for women-owned businesses. The two winners of the contest would each receive a $4,000 grant. The grants were funded by the Lester, Muriel, and Edie Fraser Women's Entrepreneur Fund for Score New Jersey. Each business would submit an application, telling the name, their product and/or services, length of time in business, a description of the market need and how they identify the need, their typical customer, the uniqueness of their product and/or service, how their product and/or service is different from the competition, an estimate of revenues for the next 2 years, and finally, if they won, how they would use the grant. The entries were reviewed by a panel of Score mentors, and 10 finalists were selected. Those finalists then had the opportunity to make a pitch of their business to a panel of Score mentors. If they wished, the finalists would be paired with a Score mentor to help them prepare their pitch. During the week beginning May 15th, the finalists made their virtual pitch presentation to the panel. The panel then chose the two winners. As an added perk, each finalist was given the opportunity to be a guest on Score Business Points to talk about their participation in the contest and about their business. My guest this week from the group of finalists is Amanda Newman, owner of Penguin Paper Company. Welcome to Score Business Points, Amanda.
Thank you very much.
Tell the listeners about yourself, your business background, and your business.
Sure. My name is Amanda. My business is Penguin Paper Company. I am the founder, letterpress printer, and designer behind that business. It is a bespoke design and stationery company. I specialize in letterpress printed wedding invitations, day of stationery, and other customized stationery.
Well, you were one of the 10 finalists in this year's Score New Jersey pitch contest. But
yes.
Tell us how you heard about Score and the contest.
I've actually known about Score for some time now. I'm from New England, and a newspaper up there used to write a series called Score Stories, and I used to read them. I was involved in editing them, and I always thought it was really interesting. And when I had decided to start my business, Score was basically the first place I went because I knew how to do the creative stuff, but I didn't know how to do anything on the business side. So I wanted to work with someone who could guide me through that process. So I was connected with a mentor. I work with Greg Butler here in New Jersey. And Greg was kind enough to pass along the information about the Score contest to me earlier this spring. And he said, hey, you know, you run a female operated business. I think this would be a really great opportunity for you. You know, I think you should try your hand at this. And I said, sure, why not? So I applied. I was matched with a different Score mentor, Steve Sinek, who was fabulous. He guided me through the process, and I was fortunate enough to have made the top 10.
Now that you've worked with Steve, do you intend to continue with him, or are you going to continue with your previous Score mentor?
It's a tough question. I'm fond of both gentlemen.
No reason you can't work with both.
That's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm fortunate enough to have both of them in my corner. So I think I'm going to, you know, stick with both of them. I just met up with Steve last week for lunch. He had been traveling, so it was nice to see him again and, you know, connect with him in person. But I'm hoping to continue to work with both gentlemen going forward.
Well, I hope you do, too. All right. Well, based on your pitch contest application, you target the millennials and the Gen Z groups.
Yes.
How do you actually exactly reach your target audience?
The best way for me to do that is by phone, really. Social media is the easiest way for me to connect with my audience. It's the most organic way to get a hold of folks. That, and I would say word of mouth, through, you know, my own friends and referrals, friends and family, things like that, but also really, really social media sites like Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, places where, you know, folks, I am a millennial, that's kind of, you know, my target audience. So I just kind of have used places that I also would go to look for vendors and things like that. It just made the most sense to me since I'm on those sites anyway. Why would I not, you know, market myself there? And it's been fairly successful so far.
Well, exactly. I'm curious, exactly how do you market yourself on TikTok or Instagram?
Sure. Good question. One of the ways I just kind of, you know, posting videos about the process, the printing process, because letterpress printing is not a traditional print. Well, technically it is a traditional printing method, but it's not a traditional modern printing method, if you will, because it's a very handmade tactile process. So people, I've found folks are very interested in actually learning about what letterpress is and the process of, you know, how I hand mix my ink and kind of how we go from start to finish on a project, things of that nature, you know, how I pour wax seals, and also just kind of showcasing finished work and work in progress, things of that nature, you know, just photography and just kind of really showing off the things that I make. I think that folks in my generation have a real appreciation for the handmade because everything is so digital nowadays that, you know, it's kind of nice to slow things down. And I think that there's a real appreciation for things that are made that way.
I understand that you print your products on a 110-year-old printing press.
That's right.
Well, how did you first acquire this press?
That's a great question. So I taught myself to letterpress print in 2017. I basically woke up one day and decided that I wanted to learn how to do it. I had always been interested in letterpress printing. Letterpress printing, for those of you who are not super familiar with the process, basically it's an antiquated way of printing. So it's a way of printing that can not only be seen, but also felt. So there's like a physical impression of whatever you're printing in there. So you used to just be able to do it with lead type. And nowadays I can draw something on the computer and have it cast into a photopolymer plate. And then I can print with that and it will press that design into the paper. But I had always really loved the look and the feel of letterpress. And I had said to myself, one day I'm going to learn how to do that. And one day in 2017, I woke up and was like, you know what? I can't stop thinking about this. I think I just want to learn how to do it. So I scoured Craigslist and I read a lot about how to print letterpress. And I found a woman who was selling a small tabletop. So I say small, it was still like 200 pounds and about 50 years old, a tabletop printing press in Brooklyn, New York. And my now husband and I, we came down here for the weekend and we drove to Brooklyn and we picked up the press and we drove it back to our place in New Hampshire and we put it in the basement. And I spent many a weekend down there just, you know, trial and error, kind of feeling my way through things. in Haverhill, I think it's Haverhill or North Haverhill, Massachusetts, there's a place called the Museum of Printing. And I took a class there just to kind of reiterate that I did know, have a sense of what I was doing and that the research I'd been doing was right. And the folks there kind of affirmed for me that, yep, you do kind of know what you're doing. And after that, I was just kind of off to the races and just kind of, you know, I took on my best friend's wedding invitations. I was like, let me do them for you, which in hindsight was nuts because they were very ambitious. And they would be much easier for me to do now. But at the time, it was a really good way for me to just kind of flex that muscle and also confirm that this was something I wanted to be doing, which I did because it really was a labor of love. And then after that, it was just kind of like, all right, I want to be doing bigger, better designs. So I acquired another press. That one actually, I have not printed on that press, but that one weighs about 1,000 pounds. And that's also about 100 something years old. And then I moved to Florida. And when I was in Florida, I was like, you know what? I would love to get a bigger press. And I happened to connect with a woman who was down in Orlando. I was living in Gainesville at the time. And she was like, I'm selling my press. Do you want to come down and see it? And I said, sure. And I saw it and I instantly fell in love with it, but I had no place to put it because it weighs about 1500 pounds. So I went back to Gainesville and there was an artist co-op downtown and I went to them and I said, hi, are you looking for, you know, might there be space for a letterpress printer? And they were like, we would love to have a letterpress printer here and we have space for your press and we have these two big garage doors and you can bring the press in. And I was like, this is perfect. So it really was just very serendipitous. So the woman I bought it from, she and her father very kindly moved the press up for me from Orlando and it lived in Gainesville. And that's the press I print on now. That's my big press. So when we moved back from Florida, I brought that back with me and that's my workhorse. So,
well, this has got to be a very labor intensive operation.
Yeah.
How do you get through this? I mean, especially if you're talking about printing invitations. I mean, what's that process like?
Sure. So I'm a little spoiled now. It's a little bit easier because my big press, it's a floor model press. So basically I stand in front of it and it opens like a clamshell, kind of like this. It's what's called a platen press. So it has an ink disc that rotates that I put ink on and I slide my design into the form and then the press opens and closes like a clamshell. I have it hooked up to a motor, so I don't have to manually.
I remember it. See, when you watch all these TV shows from back in the old westerns, and they're pushing with their feet and and it's going back and forth. That's what I picture.
That's how my press was set up to operate. Except this one has been. You can remove the treadles and you can hook them up to a motor. So now all I have to do to turn mine on is spin the flywheel and flip a switch. So I'm a little spoiled there, which it's a labor intensive process and it does take a physical toll. But for me, it is not quite as physical a toll as it would be, thankfully. So I get the press running and then once it's running, the printing part is actually the easiest part of the whole process. It's the getting ready to print that is the most time consuming and labor intensive process because the press, it's old. There's a lot of variables that go into it. You have to line everything up just so, both the paper and the design you're printing, and you have to make sure that the impression's right and that the roller height is set right and that the ink's the right color and that it's the right consistency. And sometimes that could take up to, you know, anywhere from, on a good day, it'll take me 5 to 10 minutes. And that's like, woo, great, we're killing it. Other days, it could take me 3 hours and I have to take the rollers off and I have to change the height and I have to put them back on again. And then once I print, I can, you know, print up to 100 something impressions an hour. But so I always tell people always say, wow, the printing must take you forever. And I'm like, actually, that's the easiest part. But it is a labor intensive process. But I guess I do it because I truly just love it. There is really something very rewarding about making something with your hands, especially so much of what I do, even the design and everything that leads up to my actual printing is all, for me, all done on the computer. Like maybe I'll draw a design by hand, but then I digitize it to make the plate. So it's a really nice break for me to not have to stare at a screen. And then to know that once I physically make something, it's finished and there it is and I can hold it in my hands. And I've always found that to be really, really satisfying.
Well, you've just answered my next question was what made you decide to do this process rather than the modern printing presses that are available nowadays.
That's it. It would be certainly way easier if I had chosen to go that route, but I just really like I love this process. It's far more fun for me.
Okay. Well, then, once you get a customer, explain to the listeners the process you and they go through in order to get to the finished product.
Sure. So for this example, let's pretend that I have a couple that wants wedding stationery. We're going to do a wedding invitation suite. So customer will come to me. Typically, it's a bride. Sometimes it's a couple. And they'll say, okay, you know, we're getting married on X date and we need some wedding invitations. And I say, fabulous. So I start with we do a client phone call where basically I get to know the couple a bit. I learn about, you know, what's your timeline look like? When's your wedding? What is your wedding aesthetic? Kind of what's your vibe? Do you have a color scheme? Where's your venue? How many guests are you looking at? What type of pieces do you need? Are you doing digital RSVPs? Do you want to do mailed in RSVPs? Do you need a details card? That information allows me to kind of get a quote going and also start formulating some creative ideas as to what the stationery will actually look like. Once I come up with kind of an initial quote, I send that back to the client. If the client likes the idea or likes kind of the proposal, we sign off on it. I send them a contract, they sign. And then I send them a questionnaire that allows us to get a little bit more granular in terms of the details, where we specify things like, if you are doing RSVPs and you need guests to, do you need guests to initial a meal choice? And if so, what are those meal selections? Are you getting married in a church? Are you doing, is your ceremony going to be outside? Are you doing a reception? Is there going to be a gap between the two? Are you doing a hotel block? Do guests, what information do I need to know that I know I need to include on these invitations? And then the fun part really starts for me, where I get to get into the design process, which is the most fun because I get to do really, start drawing, start designing. And then I typically come up with, typically it's one to two designs that I then send back to the clients for them to look at. And they have the ability to customize pretty much everything from that point. My suites are typically a main invitation with an outer invitation, with an envelope liner and an RSVP card and an RSVP envelope. And then we can add on as much as they want from there. We can do a customized wax seal. We can do hand-dyed silk ribbon. We can do twine. We can do, whatever they want. We could do vellum overlays. We could do tassels. The sky is really the limit. We could do velvet-backed invitations if they wanted to. We can do letterpress. We can do letterpress and digital. There's so many different things we can do depending on what the client wants. But really, the most important thing for me is that at the end of the day, the invitations are exactly what the clients want, and they're thrilled when they get them, and they're really excited for them to go out to guests. So once the client has signed off on the design proposal, I get to work on actually putting the suite into production. If we're doing letterpress, which typically we are, or we're doing a mix, maybe part of it's letterpress, maybe part of it's digital for, costs or design reasons, I put all that into production. I assemble everything in-house for them. And then once it's all prepared, I ship everything to the client. And basically all they have to do is put a stamp on it and put it in the mail, and it's ready to go.
This sounds like a very long process. So how long from start to finish does the process take? And suppose your clients want it sped up, can they?
They certainly can. I try to accommodate pretty much everyone's timeline. I mean, if you need things really quickly, just by the nature of how hands-on this process is, there could be a rush fee depending. But I try to tell my brides, typically we want to aim to get our invitations out now with the way that the Postal Service is moving, 3 to 4 months in advance, just to be extra cautious, make sure that they have time, especially if it's a destination wedding, make sure they have plenty of time to get invitations to guests and also get their RSVPs in the mail. So I like to work with brides maybe 6 to 8 months out, and, just kind of get things going. But if someone came to me and they said, hey, we're eloping or we're having a small wedding and it's a surprise and we're doing it in 4 to 6 months, I can certainly work with them on that timeline. We can make it happen.
You don't Seinfeld's, what is it, that Steinfeld's, what, yes to the dress? Oh, I'm getting married next week.
Oh, the Kleinfeld, yeah. Where they're like, the wedding's tomorrow. That it's a little harder for letterpress just because I am beholden to certain production times, I can certainly rush things, but a thing I don't love to rush is the creative process. That's the thing that I take the most care with. I don't want to rush the design part of it, because it's the most important part to me, and I want to make sure that everybody gets the same specialty treatment and the white glove process, and that I'm not rushing the creative, because I can change things in my own schedule to accommodate their timeline in terms of printing and production process. But I want to make sure that I'm hands-on and I'm doing my due diligence with the design, because I think that every client is deserving of that.
Well, I checked your website, and it seems a little sparse. In today's world, an interactive website is very important, especially when you're dealing with targeting your audiences. So what are your plans to enhance your website, and how long do you expect that to take?
Good question. So my website right now is actually a work in progress. I am in the process of overhauling it to be more reflective of the luxury product that I do create. What I've been sending out in the interim is I have a lookbook, and when folks contact me, I will refer them to my Instagram, which is where they can find the most up-to-date versions of my work, and also this lookbook, which has a wide assortment of different projects and things that I've worked on. I'm working right now on working with photographers to really just showcase past suites, you know, projects that I've worked on, kind of pet projects, things of that nature, because my work is best appreciated in person, but that's not always a reality because I work with people from all over the country. So for me, it's really important that my work be captured as beautifully as possible. And that is going to be the focus of my upcoming redesign site.
Okay. So you work with all over the country, and they find you through how?
Typically Instagram and word of mouth as well.
This is your first year in business. So yep. Exactly how did you fund your startup?
So this is my first official year in business, if you will. And this is still something I do on the side, but even prior to my first official year, it was something I did on the side. So I funded it out of my own pocket to begin with, just kind of, you know, investing my own money into it. And even now, pretty much everything I make, I put back into the business, and it allows me to purchase new equipment and, you know, kind of grow a little bit more and make sure I have stock on hand. And this year I also began printing projects for other designers and stationers, which has also been quite helpful because not everybody is a letterpress printer. And I do have that expertise. So I just plan to continue, you know, kind of investing back into the business and allowing it to grow that way. Because I think it's something that's worth investing in, and it's been really fun to do.
Do you have a business plan?
I do have a business plan.
Okay. How long have you anticipated before you actually start turning a profit?
I believe that I can turn a profit in a year or two. I believe that, I'm profitable this year, but to hit the goals that I've set, I believe it would be a year or two, and I could really kind of be consistent at the numbers that I'm targeting.
I ask a question: how far out does your business plan go?
I want to say when I set it up, I was really ambitious, and I planned it out for like 3 to 5 years.
Have you been checking it out, comparing your actual business as it's going now compared to your plan?
Yeah, I try to. I mean, it's ebbed and flowed a bit because, again, this is not my full-time gig. This is not my day job. But this year, things have really kind of taken off, and I've made more connections in the business with other, you know, other stationers, other photographers and things of that nature. And I found that I've been pleasantly surprised with the way things are going. So I think that my plan right now is at the beginning of 2024, just to kind of sit down, pause, reevaluate, you know, change the goals for the year, set the short-term and the long-term goals, and maybe reproject out maybe another, you know, 5, 7, 10 years, and kind of make sure that we're staying on track to hit those metrics.
You said that you were running from the business from the home. Do you still run from the home?
I do.
So this big, huge printing press that you have is in your home somewhere?
Yeah, it lives in the garage.
Oh my goodness. Where's your car live?
In the garage. I have a very small car, which helps. My car, it's a Miata, but I jokingly refer to it as a clown car. And that's literally like the only reason that they fit in the garage bay. But the press, actually, you might be surprised, it's not as big as one might think. Like, the square footage on it is maybe like 5 by 5, not even. She's fairly petite considering her size.
Considering what I've seen on Western movies, that's small.
Right. Yeah. Like she's pretty small. I am currently looking at another press that is, it's named, and its name is Big Ben, and he's quite a bit bigger than my current press. And I don't think I'm going to get both of them in the garage, but, so I'm still working that out, but it, considering how big of a press and how much of a workhorse she is, she's fairly petite, I would say.
Okay. So I assume somewhere down the road, you anticipate having a, as they call it, a brick and mortar?
I would love to. I mean, I think that would be really fun. At the very least, I keep telling my husband that I would love to have a she shed.
A she shed.
Like, yeah, a she shed, which would basically be like my own little print shop, you know, and even if it was still like on our property, it would be a designated place where I could have a little like a studio part and then like the print shop type of environment that would just be mine and would not also be shared with my car.
Ah, okay. Well, please tell the listeners, well, I know your website is not what you want it to be, but tell them your website address and also your Instagram page or Twitter, whatever it is that they, you know, where they can reach you.
Sure. My website is penguinpaperco.com and my Instagram is the same. It's instagram.com/penguinpaperco. I'm also on Pinterest and Facebook at the same handle. And I'm also on TikTok, sparingly on TikTok, but I'm there too.
Okay. Well, is there anything else you'd like the listeners to know?
Just that, you know, I'm really happy to connect with folks and to answer any questions. And I do more than just wedding stationery. You know, if you have bat mitzvahs, business cards, birthday cards, birthday invitations, things of that nature, I really believe that, you know, folks love to, especially in this day and age, I just think it's really fun to get fun mail. And I'm happy to assist with that any way that I can. So, and I love to experiment and do fun new projects. So if there's anything that people are interested in, maybe, hey, can we make this out of paper? Or can we do something kind of special? I'm your girl.
Oh, well, good. Well, Amanda, I want to thank you very much for taking the time out to be on Score Business Points.
Michael, thank you very much for the time. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. The rise of women entrepreneurs represents a significant shift in today's business landscape. Women entrepreneurs are not only making strides in breaking glass ceilings, but they are also making a substantial impact on the global economy. Continuous personal development is the behavior of many successful entrepreneurs. Young women starting out are often less confident than they should be about their personal branding, storytelling, and negotiating. As their businesses flourish, becoming effective leaders requires new skill sets. Besides mentoring, structured programs can help with these challenges. Networks are also vital. Entrepreneurship can be very lonely, especially when first starting out. Having experienced contacts who can provide mentoring and guidance in the business world is therefore vital for any company founder. Joining a formal community for entrepreneurs can also be particularly effective. Women who benefit from this typically then seek to pay it forward by helping their cohorts after them. Female entrepreneurship has the potential to help transform our world. And just as it can benefit everyone, we all have a part to play in making it happen. If you would like more information about this show, or for that matter, any past Score Business Point show, you may email me at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If there's any topic you would like to hear discussed on Score Business Points, or you have a comment about this show or any past show, you may email me at the same address. sbp@wbnj.org. Are you a small business owner who has overcome a business problem? Maybe you would like to tell the listeners how you did it. If so, send me an email at sbp@wbnj.org. Again, that's sbp@wbnj.org. Or are you a subject matter expert who would like to pass on your knowledge to the listeners? I can be reached at the same email address, sbp@wbnj.org. Again, it's sbp@wbnj.org. As you may be aware, SCORE provides free business mentoring and education to the small business owner or potential small business owner. The education takes the form of webinars or in-person seminars. The Southeast chapter of SCORE holds these webinars and in-person seminars throughout the year at various locations in Ocean, Atlantic, and Cape May counties. To learn more about what webinars and in-person seminars are being held, go to score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj and click on local workshops in the top navigation. Once there, you can click on any one of the webinars or in-person seminars listed to learn more about it and how to register. That's all the time I have for today. I would again like to thank my guest, Amanda Newman, for taking the time to be on Score Business Points. Tune in next week for more Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then.
For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They've been doing this for over 50 years because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA. And thanks to a network of 11,000 plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information on how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at wbnj.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the New Jersey Southeast Chapter of SCORE and 91.9 WBNJ.